2 Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. We're coming in off of quite the... I'm just so excited about this whole Tigers thing, man.
The comeback. I was hearing some guys talking about it today, and they're comparing this Tiger comeback to, I believe, 1995 Seattle Mariners, where they were way behind back in, like, in August.
I think the Tigers were even further behind than the Mariners were then.
2012 A's, and then... He said the 1978 Yankees, and I think he's got that one wrong, because 1978 Yankees, that was just like 1 year removed from when they won the World. I think they won the World Series in 77, like Jackson.
Yeah.
And Reggie Jackson and all that. So I don't know if he got that one right, but he knew his stuff about the previous A's and Mariners.
Yeah, my, what a series, or what a month it has been for the Tigers. But There's a few things, though, I have a question I feel like I need to pose here as we make our way towards actual playoffs with this team, and that is...
Playoffs.
What is the Tigers' ceiling in these playoffs? How far can they take this thing?
I don't know, because, I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be taking on the Astros. I like their chances against them.
I think they can get past the Astros.
More than, say, Yankees. But
Yankees are the one team I really find myself overly concerned about.
Yeah. I mean, the Orioles, I don't know. The Orioles have had a good season, too.
So yeah, but you've taken 4 out of 6 from them in just the last couple weeks.
Right. But playoffs are different. They just are. And regardless of what sport you're talking about, it's a different animal. So, I mean, I like them taking on the A's, the Astros, as opposed to the Yankees and the O's, but you know, we'll see what happens. To answer your question, I think this was they exceeded expectations just getting into the wild card.
Yeah,
for me.
Well, certainly, I feel like they exceeded everybody's expectations.
If they get swept, I'd be like, well, at least they made it interesting, and it's something to build on for next season. Very much. It's a lot like the Red Wings, kind of like how they really pushed, and they lost out of the playoffs by 1 point. But it was exciting to the point where the players are still talking about that, and I think it's going to give them an extra shot in the arm this coming season.
I agree.
Which starts today.
That's right, preseason tonight. So I will say this.
Okay.
I do think they can win the wild card series depending on who they get matched up against, and honestly, I'm not sure it matters who they get matched up against. If it's the O's... You can't tell me that the Tigers can't beat them in a 3-game series, because they've already done it twice in just the last 2 weeks. And with the way that your pitching is going right now, I really don't think that there's really a scenario here in which the Tigers don't pull that off. I mean, you give me Reese Olson, Skubal, and Montero in a 3-game set, I feel pretty confident about that. Who other than Corbin Burns are you really scared of pitching-wise in the Orioles? I mean, I'm not really worried about Maury Povich or whatever his name is, who's like the next guy up. He of the 5.60 ERA. Doesn't really scare me.
Sure.
There's no one else in that rotation I really worry about. And you'll note, the only 2 games they've lost in that series, or against the O's, have come against Corbin Burns. There's no one else that worries me in that rotation. You can hit any other pitcher that Baltimore throws out there.
All right, and, smart guy. Let me propose this to you. Rank these in the order of least scared to most scared. O's, Astros, or Yankee O's?
Okay. For me, it's...
Least scared to...
Least to most? Then, all right, Baltimore, Houston, Yankees.
Fair.
And I put Cleveland somewhere close to that lesser tier as well. The Yankees are really the only team that I don't think you can get past, and I feel like if you're going to run into them, it would be in the ALCS. So I'm saying you could make it past the wild card round, past the ALDS, because I don't think there's a single team in that field that you can't beat, and I'm just not convinced that you can necessarily shut down the Yankees.
Right.
So my ceiling, realistically, is that they make it to the ALCS against the Yankees, and that's where they fall.
And, fair enough.
And you can't tell me there's not a single person in this town that wouldn't be absolutely thrilled with that as a possibility.
Yep.
that's kind of where how I see that shaking out. Because, I mean, you've got, when you consider just how ridiculously good the bullpen's been, and you have another secret weapon coming in here real quick. I don't know if you have to have heard this by now. Jackson Jobe got called up. The top prospect in the Tigers system.
Oh, but, I mean, okay, not to be superstitious here, but you're bringing in somebody new into this this team that has been rolling. And aren't you afraid that maybe this would be a little, add a little ripple to it?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because no one, here's the great thing about throwing out a guy like Jackson Jobe. No one has any film on him. No one has seen him pitch against actual major league hitting. So you could throw him, and honestly, probably what I do, there's two ways I could see this going. Either you throw him out there as an opener, quote unquote, have him get the first six outs of a game, and then you bring in a Madden or a who's the other kid that's been really good in that in that spot? Ty Madden and, well, that's not Montero. Montero's a full-on starter at this point. But then you bring in one of those guys, because you have him face six hitters, and none of them have seen him. They don't know what his out pitch is. They don't know what to expect from him. Or you bring him in late, like Scooble's going like six innings, and you bring him in for like the seventh, eighth.
There you go.
Like, there's kind of an advantage there that I think goes to the pitcher. They don't know what his stuff is. You know what the tendencies of these major league hitters are because they've been doing it all year. You don't know really what to expect from this guy. And I feel like you could deploy him in some real high leverage situations and ultimately have that work very much in your benefit. That's at least kind of how I'm seeing that shake out. And I really hope I'm right about that. Because, man, that's going to be fun to watch. Like, I don't expect that he's going to be getting an official any starts going down the stretch here unless they clinch this thing by the time the White Sox series happens on Friday.
Yeah.
But even then, I mostly imagine he's going to be using, like I said, in that opener, that two-inning fireman kind of role. Because that's probably where it makes the most sense to deploy a guy who you know has really good stuff and that no one has seen that stuff yet.
I don't know if you were watching any of the game yesterday, but
oh yeah,
some kids were had a sciences skipping school for Scooble. Because I mean, that has been a discussion. Do you play him now, or do you kind of wait in the rotation for the playoffs?
It depends on when you clinch. I think, like if you manage in the next 2 days to clinch a spot in the wild card, I think you let Scooble rest until game one of the wild card series. No need to pitch him against the White Sox if you don't need those games for anything.
Do the pitching rotation, does it reset when you go into the playoffs, or you have to continue?
You don't have to continue anything. It's, you know, it's a matter of making sure guys aren't pitching on like super short rest.
Gotcha.
And remember, in this rotation, you basically only have like three and a half guys right now. I mean, it's basically at this point Scooble, Olsen, Mize, or Scooble, Olsen, Montero, and yeah, Mize. Like, as of right now, the way that things are shaking out, Montero's starting tonight. Tomorrow, I believe, is Reese Olsen. I don't believe they've announced the starter for Friday yet, but it's most likely, I think it probably would be Mize, and I don't know how deep they would even let him go at that rate, but let me get that information for you here real quick. Because there's still at least one bullpen start in the most recent turn through the rotation. I think Saturday might have been the last time Mize actually got the start. Like, you kind of really want to manage that so you're not pitching Scooble on short rest if you don't have to, but you want to make sure he's there for that do-or-die playoff series. Like, it probably ends up being a Scooble, Montero, and Mize if you absolutely can get away with it. Because you're not going to be doing bullpen starts in the playoffs. That's just not how that's going to roll. Unless you do the Jackson Jobe as opener thing, which
yeah,
I could very well see them doing at some point down the stretch. But that's an issue we can worry about when we even get to the ALDS at this point. Because that you're not going to have to worry about that with this series. It's only three games.
Right.
So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that ultimately shakes out. But I think if you clinch early, they're going to do everything they can to avoid having to start Scooble again in the regular season, I think is the plan here.
Yeah.
And why not? Because, you know, he's basically doubled the amount of innings he pitched last season. Like, he went from, like, 85 to, like, I think he's probably going to end up at 200 before all is said and done here. Like, you don't want to burn that arm out too much early on.
I wonder how much tickets are going for. Because, I mean, the next five are all at Comerica. I wonder at the price.
I'll tell you, they're about 20-25 bucks a pop for the cheapest lower level stuff.
That's not bad.
And I know because I'm planning on going Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Like there's no way around this. In fact, let me refresh and see where it. Oh boy, yeah, they're starting to go up. We're up to 30 now. I better jump on this real quick.
Yeah, Tampa today and Thursday.
Burned myself again, man. I could have had these for $10.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Chi Sox. And then that's it. We'll see what happens. I mean, when they clinch, it's going to be a fun time in Detroit.
Yes, it is. I was kind of hoping, I mean, for purely for baseball purposes, I want to see it happen the sooner the better. Like, if they can clinch against Tampa, which I believe is at least a possibility if they keep winning and the Twins keep losing. But also, I wouldn't mind if it happens on Saturday just for entirely selfish purposes. Well, sure. On that note, I guess I better go get some Tigers tickets, huh? It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. All right, so I did go and look it up. The Tiger tickets for Saturday, the cheapest for lower bowl right now, you're looking at like $33 or something. That's not bad at all. It's really not. Like, especially like for lower level, that's absolutely fantastic. I'm looking to see what what it would be for just any random seat in the house. Like tonight, you can still get tickets for tonight for like $9. You can get them for like $13 for tomorrow afternoon's matchup. And honestly, I'd probably go because it's not like I have anything to do during the day. $21 is the cheapest ticket you can get for Saturday's game. That's upper level, which I mean, that's still not terrible by any means.
That's a good night out. If I remember correctly, maybe I'm completely off my rocker.
You usually are. Yeah.
Concession prices, I guess, for a Tigers game is lower than, say, Wings, Pistons, and Lions.
Well, I mean, it's not hard to do that because we've been to a Wings game at LCA.
Yeah, that's my good Lord.
Although, hey, it worked out for us, though.
Because it was a great time.
Because we got, well, when we went, we got the seat that was, like, right across, or the suite that's right across from where the one craft cocktail stand in the entire place.
They knew us.
And yes, I may have been paying like $15 a pop for a Jack and Coke, but let me tell you, there was no shortage of Jack Daniels in that drink.
Yeah, she took good care of us. I think her name was Patricia or something like that. She was awesome.
Something like that. So I will express no complaints whatsoever about that. Like those are drinks that we get at a certain watering hole around here that are like, oh, Jack with a splash of Coke. I like the way you think.
Yeah, would you like a Jack and Coke?
Pretty much, dude.
How's your Jack and Coke?
It was fantastic. Like, I would do that again. Just
how was it? I just got in an argument with myself in the mirror in the bathroom. It's great. And the mirror won. By the way, I owe you one mirror.
Yeah, that happens too sometimes, I suppose. Here's the Black Keys at Solid State Radio. Do you have any idea how long of an offseason it has been for Adam Harahuk? I can't possibly express this enough, how ready this man is to welcome the Detroit Red Wings back into his life. And as such, I shan't deny him that opportunity even a moment longer. As they say in hockey, let's do that. Hockey. Hey,
Hockey Town! Wow, right in the eardrums. Wow, that came through, didn't it?
Sure did.
So tonight's game will not be televised. The Revolution will not be televised.
That's unfortunate.
We're not getting Bally's until October 1st. I was trying to explain that to somebody, but my autocorrect kept trying to turn Bally's into balls.
Ah.
So they're taking on Chicago tonight. You can see it, DetroitRedWings.com. Here are your forwards. Number 14. I don't know some of these guys' first names. Tyler Mott. I remember he was in the U of M program did quite well.
Well, yeah, because there's recruiting that, like, that class of U of M guys all onto this team.
Everybody's on that team now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what...
there's seriously, like, I think six guys from that team on our roster now.
Well, who's the cat that just signed with Montreal? No, he played for Montreal. I can't remember. I'm drawing
that signed with us?
No, they were saying he was going to sign with us, but I think he signed with Toronto.
Max Pacioretty?
That's what it was. Yes, thank you. That was going to drive me nuts. In number 85, how far am I? Okay. So, yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Carter Mazur, number 43. Number 58, Finney. Number 71, Dylan Larkin. Number 78, Amadeus Lombardi. Coolest name ever.
Right.
Number 85, Elmer Soderblom. Number 90, Joey Valeno. Number 92, Marco Casper. Number 93, Alex DeBrincat.
A lot of people thinking Casper is going to make the team this season, possibly even out of training camp.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that, but he's going to have to play himself into a role because you can see it's a pretty big Carter Mazur. A lot of people are talking about that cat. Defense, number 2, Ali Mata. Number 3, Justin Hole. Number 20, Albert Johansson. Number 46, Jeff Petrie, your guy. You like him.
Cut him. Fire him out of a cannon into the sun.
Number 56, Gustafson. Number 77, Simon Edvinson. And in goal, number 33, Sebastian Kosa. Backing him up, number 35, Billy Huso.
Can't wait to see what Kosa could do.
Yeah, Mikosa Esu Kosa. It's going to be a good time. Looking forward to that. But, I mean, it might be one of those things where you can watch it on DetroitRedWings.com or maybe YouTube following, I guess. I kind of want to see. I mean, I'm not going to be ready until – I don't care until regular season. I used to get all hyped up about preseason, but a lot of times –
Don't lie to me, Adam. You're going to be sitting there watching this thing tonight. I know you are.
Well, better than what I was doing yesterday, watching like conspiracy theories about 9/11.
Oh my God!
Yeah, but no, I am ready for the Red Wings. I mean, it's an exciting time. You got the Tigers making a push for the playoffs. I think they're in. You got the Lions doing really well, and you got the Wings starting up. Pretty soon, we're going to be talking about the Pistons a little bit, and then you know.
We're not going to talk about the Pistons. And, let's not even lie to each other.
So, I mean, yeah. If you're a sports fan, this is an exciting, exciting time. And for me, I like it because Saturday, first SNL airs.
Yeah, the important stuff, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not sports, but I dig it. Jean Smart, who was in Designing Women or something like that.
Why is she hosting SNL?
Apparently, she's on. There's so many streaming services and so many TV shows out there that these TV shows get so popular, they go right underneath my radar, and she's involved in one of them, so she's hosting.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. Good on her, then. Yeah. Here's the 1975 at Solid State Radio. Chevelle, your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and I've got a, shall we say, a list over here.
Oh, no kidding. Is now it trash?
I mean, it is definitely a list that is trash, if not trash adjacent.
Okay.
But it's not a this list is trash in the traditional sense,
okay,
if that makes sense.
No, but please continue.
I shall. So it's a list I'd come across on Facebook that I really just kind of want to get your opinion on. 30 bands known primarily for just one hit song, according to AI, apparently.
One hit wonders? Sure.
Essentially, I think that...
Oh, it could probably be like we've had this discussion before about how a certain band... Yeah, they've had other hits on the radio, but when it really gets down to the nitty-gritty, they're known for this song.
But it's a lot of 2000s radio rock here on this list, so I really
want to... Okay, because I was going like more for my Wings 103 days. What instantly came to mind was 7 Mary 3. I mean, they had Water's Edge, which does still make active, which still makes classic rock stations, but they're known for Cumbersome. Let's face it.
That's fair. So, I got a list here.
Okay.
I'll throw these out, and already I disagree with this one right off the jump.
Okay.
Hoobastank, The Reason.
What other song did they have?
Crawling in the Dark. Are you kidding me? Like, we literally
Flowers on the Grave did that one.
Ha. You're a funny guy over here. I mean, you're not going to... I mean, yeah, I guess if you only listened to, like, Soccer Mom Radio in the 2000s... Maybe that's the song you recognize.
Which would totally. I was 25 years old. He's like, oh, Soccer Mom Radio, let's do this.
You know, you would be the guy at 25 listening to Cars 108, okay?
I would not.
You absolutely don't. Oh, I hated that. You're sitting there singing along to Kelly Clarkson and all that stuff.
Since you've been gone. Shut up.
Come on, you're going to tell me that this wasn't every big...
Oh, yeah.
Come on, dude.
Well, we use this as bumper music.
I just said that like 30 seconds ago. Hi, me.
No, you did not.
I did. You did.
You did not. I was ignoring you then.
You really don't listen to anything I say, do you?
Yeah, I'll have another drink.
So, I mean, you can't argue that that was their only or even biggest hit.
I think what they're talking about is you have the hit, and then you have like really tent poles their whole career, and then you got a couple other things.
Yeah, but that... Okay, again, like for a certain audience, but like... Even if you weren't like the heaviest, like biggest rock radio listener or whatever, like that was the hit.
Sure, sure.
There's no way around that one for me. All right. We may disagree on that one. This one, there's absolutely no disagreement on. Crazy Town, Butterfly.
Oh.
Did they have another song?
They put out a whole album, but I
think... They did?
Yeah. I'm told. But no.
I will tell you right now. I could ask 100 people on the street to name me a Crazy Town song other than Butterfly, and I guarantee you, 99 of them would not be able to do it.
Was that even the name of the song?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because like right around that time, it was always like, you know, Butterfly, but the song was actually called like Blank Space or something, you know, something stupid like that. No, I think that's a great tune. I think it really encapsulates that whole area. It's like 2000, 2001. But, you know... I don't really care about anything from Crazy Town. One of them just died.
Yeah, I believe it was their singer.
The guy that was causing all the trouble. He's like, ah.
The guy that actually got into a fight with the other singer that he hired to basically show up at gigs and play in his place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole weird thing. Meth, not even once, kids.
Yeah, that's methed up.
And apparently it was fentanyl overdose is what they're saying now.
Dude,
that just came out the other day, like, I'm stunned. Simply stunned by this.
Oh, my God. No. Don't even try it.
This one you could probably make an argument in favor of as well. Alien Ant Farm, Smooth Criminal.
Oh, yeah. And that's such a great band. But, yeah, they were known for one song, and it was a cover. What a slap in the face.
Yeah, that has to just absolutely kill you. I mean, there are some good tracks on that record. Movies is an absolute banger, but, like, I don't think anyone's going to argue that that's not the hit that band is forever going to be known for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's no getting around that as much as you'd like to. This one. Oh, this is fun for so many reasons. Headstrong by Trapped.
Yeah, I knew that song, and then that is it.
That, I feel like, for most people. I know there's still a handful of tracks that still would make it onto the radio that are honestly better than that one is. Damn shame, really, that Chris Brown ended up being such an insufferable prick.
Yeah.
My, that career...
Did the rest of the band fire him, or did they just put out a statement and say, we're done with this prick?
Yeah, I think, like, the original drummer had quit at one... Or the bass player or somebody had quit.
Who cares about the bass player?
He's basically the only guy of the original band that's left, and there's a reason for that.
Fair.
Because he just goes on, you know, on the internet and throws out ridiculous conspiracy theories and also, you know, defends statutory rape and things of that nature. Just a stand-up guy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Crossfade, Cold. Okay, I'll give you that one. That's the only one of maybe two songs anyone remembers by them. That's fine. Puddle of Mud, Blurry.
Oh, see, I don't
would
know.
Disagree with that.
I disagree with that because Blurry, and then they had he had
She Hates Me.
Yeah. And then there was another one in there.
Well, there's Control.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was some hits.
Like
some bangers.
Yeah, half of the tracks on that album ended up being singles, and you can make a case for any single one of them. Like, Blurry wasn't the biggest hit, I don't think.
No.
I remember, like every bar band for a while, it seemed like busted out, She Hates Me.
So easy. It's four chords.
I know. There's really not, like, a solo or anything, and it's like any competent bar band could do it.
Yep.
And make it sound halfway decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that one you got wrong. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Oh, the Ataris, Boys of Summer. I'm not arguing against that one either. Can anyone name me another song from the Ataris
other than Radio something? They had it was a really cool tune, Radio 2, or I can't remember the name of the track, but all I know is it was a radio single, and it appeared on EA Sports NHL 2002.
Would have been In This Diary or The Saddest Song?
Nope. I think the song had the word radio in it.
Okay, I'll go and check that later. I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
Hawthorne Heights, Ohio, it's for lovers. Yeah, you're pretty much right there, dead on. Terrible bit. I was not a fan of those guys. Like that was when the emo thing was just at its absolute worst. Like that's the
that emo band. Around time is Good Charlotte and
because Good Charlotte were actually like up tempo and fun to listen to. Hawthorne Heights was just a total slog. Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's Mom.
Oh yeah.
Like, I know of a couple other songs of theirs that got a little bit of radio play, but, like, that was the one.
Yeah, and it's...
It's a shame, because, God, Adam Schlesinger is a great songwriter.
Yeah, I mean, he had a songwriting thing on his own. Didn't he write That Thing You Do?
He did.
Yeah.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
That might be the best thing he's ever put out, honestly.
Sometimes, I mean, having a really good song can break your band, because that's all you're known for. That's all they want to know about.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, that's so often the way it goes that, like, you can never live that song down.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the music video really kind of touched on a lot of...
All the 80s, like, teen movie tropes?
So, a nostalgia button for all the people who were, you know, watching it with their tweens. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a Van Halen reference. And
I mean, their tweens probably shouldn't have been watching that video, but yeah.
Yeah. Who's she? Well, she used to be married to Rod Stewart. Who's he? Used to be married to her. Move on. So, anyway, yeah, Fountains of Wayne, yeah. I don't know much about Fountains of Wayne except for Stacy's Mom, which is too bad because they're a great band.
Yeah, but I feel like most people probably fall into that category. Here's another one I vehemently disagree with. Jet, Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Oh, Cold Hearted Bitch is a great tune. Better than Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
I would agree with that, and it probably gets played every bit as often these days.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, how poppy your local alternative station is, you know, you might occasionally hear Look What You've Done, too, which I'm not a huge fan of.
It's a cool song. It's okay.
It's all right. It still probably gets played.
Talk about a band that just, like, disappeared.
Had one or two good albums and then just disappeared off the face of the earth.
There's not any one member trying to revive the name with a bunch of fill-in members. It's just like, you know what? Okay, we're done.
Right, and I really respect that for them.
Yeah.
I actually mentioned it earlier on when I was doing 90s at Noon today. You saw that Live basically did that. Like, their singer came back and just brought back the band with a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
After they kicked him out of the band and had toured with a new singer before that. Like, it's like which version am I getting of Live today? The one with Ed Kowalczyk or the one with everybody else?
Well, you can pronounce his last name, so you're probably going to go with the singer.
That's only because I'm like half Polish, dude. Like, it's
you didn't have to tell us. That is an argument that people can have. You have a chance to see all the band, or you can have the singer. I mean, we've been having that argument with Van Halen, Rat, Great White, and all of those bands.
When we had Live at Lapeer Days a few years back, yeah. It was everybody but Josie Scott. I'm like, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Isn't that something? I mean, it's too bad.
Like, I really have no interest in any of the stuff they did with the new guy.
Like Skid Row, I mean, with all the new singers that they've had.
Just bring back Sebastian Bach already, would you?
Yeah, they've been trying to compare. Well, it'd be just like Perry Farrell and all that. No, it wouldn't. But you have the people who wrote the songs still in the band, but Sebastian Bach, who sang it, isn't. And everybody's just like, nah, it's not for me. I'd rather go see Sebastian and hear the voice.
The voice is just that much more. I mean, I don't like to, you know, not to dismiss any of that sort of thing, but like, Anyone can play the guitar and make it sound like that.
Yep.
There's only a handful of people that can sound like Sebastian Bach.
Exactly.
There's no really comparing that there. Like, if given the choice, that's the one I'm going to take every single time.
Yep.
We'll do some more of these coming up. Sounds it is good. Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. We're talking one-hit wonders, or at least bands that this list on Facebook just determined are one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
Or bands that are known for one song or whatever.
They've hit the nail on the head on some of them, but some of them, they're just way out of there.
So wrong about Jet and Puddle of Mud.
Yes.
This one they're entirely right on, though. American Hi-Fi, Flavor of the Week. you could probably name maybe one other song. At least I can name one other song off the top of my head, and that's it. And I will never argue that it was as big of a hit as that one was.
American Hi-Fi. I'm trying to remember that band. I remember Flavor of the Week, but I'm also thinking Marvelous 3. They had a, think they had a song called
Freak of the Week.
Freak of the Week. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Hi-Fi. American Hi-Fi. No, I don't remember that band at all.
You remember the song, though. You have...
I guarantee I'd have to hear it, but...
Yeah, I mean...
To say they had anything else, I'm like, no thanks.
Well, yeah. Well, no, absolutely nobody would argue in favor of their... No, seriously, they had other songs. Like, I remember hearing one other song on the radio, I think it was Another Perfect Day, and that's the only other song I've ever heard, and I think it was on the radio for approximately 2 weeks, and that was about it. All right, because it's in our library somewhere. I may have actually played it today, honestly.
Okay.
This song. I guarantee you know this one.
She paints her nails and she don't know. He's got her best friend on the phone.
Okay, yep.
That one.
Yep. This was like in one of those American Pie movies.
Oh, yeah.
That or Road Trip or, you know.
Yeah, total teen movie song, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is one of those that are, like, in every, like, 2000s, like, frat bro comedy.
the kind of, oh, you mean the kind of movie they can't make anymore, but it was so considered so wholesome?
Right.
Because they all learned a lesson at the end.
That they...
Oh, I'm not supposed to film a girl changing her clothes in my bedroom.
Without her consent. Oh! We learned something new today.
We're all better people. What happened to her? She got deported. That's moving on.
Right.
Okay.
It's not about the things that would get us Me Too today, but the friends and restraining orders we made along the way.
American Pie sex offender list coming to a theater here.
Right.
Hi. I'm Jim Levinstein, and I got to tell you, I'm living in your neighborhood.
Okay, now this one I'm a bit more, I want your opinion on, because sure. This is right in your, like, era of, like, late 90s. Lit, My Own Worst Enemy.
Oh, love that song, but yeah, I can't name one other tune.
Miserable? I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's probably not the biggest hit.
It's like what I said.
It was the ballad off that record.
Maybe, if you can bring that up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what I said. When you have such a big song, it becomes a tentpole, and you don't... Well, like the aforementioned Seven Mary Three, they had Water's Edge, but Cumbersome is such a big hit.
I'll also argue My was a better song than either one of them.
I don't know that one.
This the lit song for What's Worth. You've heard this.
Oh, yes. For some reason, I thought this was Fuel.
It kind of sounds like Fuel, does it not?
It's something off that second record from Fuel, yeah.
I can see that. There's another one of those bands, by the way, that went in, like, they toured with just the three guys and not Brett Scallions. Then Brett Scallions toured with
Fuel.
None of the other guys.
Yeah, Fuel. They don't have...
And then now it's back to the other not Brett Scallions guys.
Okay. I mean, I guess it's the music business, not the music friendship, right, people?
Certainly not.
Yeah.
All right, Power Man 5000 when Worlds Collide. I don't know, I'd argue against it, but because I think Bombshell was probably as big of a hit back then.
Oh, Worlds Collide and Power Man 5000...
You're not as familiar with that. That was more...
What about Space Lord?
That's Monster Magnet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This is one I really probably should ask Woody about, huh?
Yeah.
Because that's right in his, like, wheelhouse of, like, 90s, like, new metal-ish, like, things.
He would know who produced the record, where they recorded it.
Yeah.
What label, yeah.
Probably a little bit less,
man,
though.
Nah.
All right.
I was too busy writing my own stuff.
Okay. Here's two slam dunk ones, I think.
Okay.
Plain White Tees, Hey There, Delilah.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing else.
I only know one other song of theirs, and that's, you know, Hate, I Really Don't Like You. You know, that's the only other song I could even, like, come up with.
That's kind of your mantra, really.
Hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like you.
It's like your ringtone.
Yeah. No, this is the one that's going to follow him around, which really sucks because, like, he wrote it about a girl that had already turned him down.
For years, she's going to be like, I'm Delilah.
Well, at the time, she probably was bigger than he, because she was like an Olympic gymnast or something.
Really?
Yeah, no, like, dead serious. Like, they had met, I think it was before he was famous and possibly before she was anybody either.
Hey there, Delilah. I hope you meet Larry Nassar. And
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, with the way that had gone down, apparently, is they had met years prior. Like, but definitely before Plain White Tees blew up.
Okay.
She was a cross-country runner. I was wrong. They had met through a mutual friend before she got big, or before he got big.
Stalking a cross-country runner, that just sounds exhausting.
Right? Like, who could keep up, man? So they did not end up getting together as a result of that, but that's you're never going to live that song down. And then Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping.
Oh, yeah.
You can't name another song of Chumbawamba.
There was one other single from that record, but I couldn't remember. It was the track after Tub Thumping on that album. I know that, but
really?
it didn't. It, you know what? It's probably one of those things that it charted like crazy in the UK or in Europe, but didn't do anything in America.
You know, that could very well be. And I couldn't tell you, I've never listened to anything other than, I don't really go out and listen to that song.
I got burnt by that band and New Radicals right around the same time. I was like, oh, I love this song. I'm going to buy their album. And then it was just like, the rest of this is just garbage.
Okay, so the track after Tub Thumping would be Amnesia, which was apparently released as a single.
Yeah.
I can't picture this song.
All I know is VH1 for one of their shows used it as their intro.
Really?
But I mean, it was a radio single. But I mean, it's another thing.
Well,
I mean,
now that I
year,
look this up.
That year, I mean, every sports arena. I mean, I get not you know, Tub Thumping was huge.
It was inescapable. Well, you know, it was one of those, you know, stadium songs. Like now we're gonna do this.
We loved Drew and I. The summer of 97. I know I've waxed ecstatic, reminiscent about that, but...
Or waxed nostalgic. Waxed nostalgic.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, this is the one that you were talking about, yep. And I don't recognize it at all.
Yep. It's not too bad. I mean, was it as big as Tub Thumping?
Well, no, but nothing was.
But, I mean, if you were to play that now, if Drew and I's in the bar... We'd go absolutely bonkers.
This one?
No. Tub Thumping. Yeah.
Part of me now wants to do that and see what happens. And then immediately leave and let everyone else deal with the aftermath.
Yeah. Well, just now you realize we're not going to get on top of a table anymore because of that poor table.
Right. Yeah, I can't see that ending well for you or for the table. You look like a couple Buffalo Bills fans, man.
Yeah.
It's not a bad song. I definitely am not... I'm not sure what I expected, to be honest with you.
There's probably a lot of people right around that time that heard it and probably thought it was Spice Girls.
I could see that. Musically, I could totally see that. Yeah, that'll be enough of that. Also, the rest of New Radicals' album was not terrible.
I just don't remember any of it really grasping me.
Someday We'll Know wasn't a bad track.
I don't remember that one. Was it released as a single?
Yeah. Oh, it was the other charting radio single off
really?
That record. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I think there's a third one, but I'll be damned if I can remember what it is off the top of my head.
Good, because when I play the New Radicals, I always play Get What You Give, so I don't mind changing that up.
It's in the library here. Like we have it. Like it occasionally makes a brief appearance during the 90s at noon.
I'll have to look that up.
But you don't listen to my show, so you know. Yeah, no, yeah. Someday We'll Know was the other hit, the only other hit off the record.
Someday We'll Know. Okay.
The only other single they ever released, really.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's not a bad. It's more like it's more ballady, but you know, it's a solid tune at least.
Sure.
Let's do maybe a couple more of these real quick.
I'm enjoying this.
How about, here's one for you. A Michigan one, another Michigan one. Well,
no.
I guess New Radicals wasn't actually on this list, so they probably should have been. Taproot, Poem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, anytime I play Taproot on the show, people just go bonkers.
Well, Yeah, and you probably never played Poem on Sessions.
I don't think so.
I mean, you're very much like, I'm not playing the song that you people know. Like, no, White Stripes, you picked the most obscure White Stripes song ever. No one has possibly ever listened to Jimmy the Exploder other than you. Blue Orchid was at least a radio single.
Yeah. I mean, because I did start out that way. It's like, I kind of want to do deep diving for some of these bands.
It's still the only Stripes songs you played.
Yeah, no, I've done.
Jaguar's got a whole new record out, and I don't think you played a track from it on the show yet.
No, I don't. I don't have a good excuse for this. But Blue Orchid, Icky Thump, I've done that one.
I've heard you play Icky Thump, yeah.
Yeah, but Jimmy the Exploder. Okay, so a good friend of mine I used to play trivia with back in the day. He's the one who got me to say football. That was his thing. He liked watching. He was like, football. He was talking to Jack White about, he says, that first track on the album, Jimmy the Exploder, was the greatest intro song. It was kind of reminds me of the first track of the first Cars album, which was, I believe...
was that Good Times Roll?
That the Good Times Roll. And he says, Jack White's just like, dude, you're right, yeah. They kind of ended up talking about the Cars. So that's one thing I put on there.
Like, that's not entirely inaccurate either, because I mean it just sets the tone for everything that comes after.
Right.
I'll grant you that.
As opposed to the next album, I think the lead single, the lead track was Seven Nation Army. That's just kind of a waste.
Was that the lead track off? I mean, obviously it was
from what I understand. Yeah.
I mean, obviously it was the lead single, and now the one that they'll never be able to get away. That Jack White will never be able to get away from, no matter how hard he tries. No. Which is a damn shame. I mean, it's a good song. One that you'll never hear on Solid State Sessions, I can always guarantee it.
Oh, the Scald version.
Oh, that's true. Oh, you're right. It was the first track on the album. It's been so long since I've actually listened to that album front to back.
And most people don't listen to albums like that anymore. It's usually singles. They'll download it. And a lot of times when you download something, it mixes the tracks up, which is stupid because sometimes artists really put some thought into... what song goes in the next? Like Typo Negative's Bloody Kisses, modern day, I say modern day, it came out in 94, classical album. The songs have to be in a certain order, and then they release a CD and jumbled everything up. I'm like, you guys are jerking this around.
Ruining the whole damn thing. What are we even doing here?
Yeah.
No.
Peter Steele's rolling in his grave. He wasn't even dead at that point yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's wrong with these people? But back to the Taproot thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
Taproot, yeah.
Home is certainly the biggest hit, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Like, I can't argue against that. But, I mean, there are a couple other, like, big, like, I was kind of a hit again and again. Calling might be the last, like, big hit they had.
I play that one.
I love that
VIP,
track.
The more recent one.
Like, the newest. They're still putting out, like, their newest record, absolute banger. Like, everything I've heard off it, I did.
Did that band find the Fountain of Youth? They look fantastic.
Well, they did, but I think they all, like, took it out on Jared.
Jared looks fine. Apologies to Jared.
Put Jared on the apology list. No, seriously, though. Yeah, you're not wrong about that. And they're still...
Singer's still crazy.
Well, lead singers usually are. That's kind of how that goes.
Yep.
You kind of expect that sort of thing a little bit.
Yeah. You can't be all rational people, good with their money, and not jumping off of stages and, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's what makes it fun, man.
Yeah, right?
I'm certainly not going to argue with that any. Mm-mm. All right, but I biggest hit, sure, but, like, known primarily for that one hit. Okay, this one is so wrong. This one's wrong on every level. Cake the Distance.
Oh, come on now.
I'd argue Short Skirt, Long Jacket was a bigger hit.
The Animal Channel one.
Animal Channel one?
Why don't we do it?
That's the Bloodhound King, you idiot. That's not even close to the same band.
It is very close.
It is not.
It is so close. I mean, so that is
a
great tune.
But no, Short Skirt Long Jack was probably as big of a hit. Never There was a pretty big hit, too.
Going the Distance is their big one. But yeah, I mean, they're not... known for just that tune.
I'd even give credit to their cover of I Will Survive.
I forgot about that. That was a great tune.
I kind of did, too, until I started going back. Like, wait a minute. There were so many good songs on that.
Are they the ones who do the song Stripper's Only Sexy When She's Crying?
That is also Bloodhound Gang. Okay. So today what we've learned, kids, is that Adam doesn't know the difference between Cake and the Bloodhound Gang. They did that Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo song, right? Nope, that was also the Bloodhound Gang.
So I'm going to go to see Cake. I'm like, just shouting out Bloodhound Gang songs. Oh, somebody get this asshole out of here.
Oh, my God. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of hilarious. But no, I mean, The Distance was a big hit.
Yes,
but
that was the big one.
I don't know. I think there's an argument to be made for Short Skirt, Long Jacket, though.
I mean, you'd have to look up anything, you know, how the songs charted, how they sold, how are they streaming now? Because you can look that up now. They're to the point where they're telling us what songs have passed a billion streams, which equals out to about $500, something like that for the artist.
Ooh, is it that much now?
Yeah, it's a great day to be recording music for somebody else.
Yeah, you're not kidding there. So, yeah. All right, so The Distance was number 4 on the U.S. Alternative Chart.
Okay.
Short Skirt, Long Jacket came in at number 7 at its peak.
That's pretty comparable.
Never There came in at number 1.
Never There. I've never heard that one.
You've heard that one. It's the one that starts with the dial tone. I guarantee
you. You talking about the Pistons starts with a dial tone.
That's also true, but no, you have absolutely positively heard, you know this one.
All right.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. I was going to say, don't add for a second.
Oh, that's
like
a great tune, yeah.
It is a great tune. In fact, I think we're going to actually play the whole damn thing next just because now I want to hear the whole thing.
There you go.
It is your local alternative, South State Radio. So much fun with that list that we didn't even get to. There's still about another like dozen of these that
I know. Why were we spending time talking about the Tigers? We should have just done that.
We could have made this literally the entire radio show today, and I would have been fine with that. Like, this list is getting revisited at some point in the future.
I think that's great. And I think we could probably come up, if we really thought hard enough, we could come up with our own entries.
Yeah, our own examples that are probably better than a bunch of the ones on this list.
Right.
Anyway, that'll do it. That'll about do it for us for tonight. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next here on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. Back at it tomorrow at 3. Well, if you can pry me away from the Tigers game long enough, see ya!